As most everybody knows, today is St. Patrick's Day. I've already had several people point out to me I didn't have any green today, but Madison gave me some green to put on. A couple of weeks ago, Kevin Martin gave me a desk calendar, and every day has a joke about Chuck Norris. Today's joke simply was this: Chuck Norris is the only person alive who has actually ever caught a leprechaun. A couple was visiting a church, and the pastor announced that the night before, his dog had eaten most of his sermon notes, and therefore the sermon that day would be rather brief. At the close of the service, the visitors went to the pastor and asked him, "If your dog ever has puppies, would you please give a puppy to our pastor?" We are talking about what God wants to do in and through us. God's purpose is to bring mankind back into a relationship with Him. Jesus came to facilitate that. He became what we would call the propitiation. He paid for our sins. And God has called us to be messengers of that very simple truth, that you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ because He died for you upon a cross. Now, what is happening in each of our lives is this: God is shaping us that we might be a people that can do His work. Now, we're going to be talking today about the potter and the potter's wheel. A potter would take a lump of clay, throw it on the wheel, and begin to have it turn. And with his skilled hands, he would begin to shape that pot into anything he wanted it to be. And what we're going to be talking about today is that we are like clay in the potter's hand. God is shaping us to be a person through whom he can share His gospel, shaping us to be His message, and that we're all going to be shaped differently, that some of us may even have some imperfections that God can wonderfully work into the vessel. But I want you to understand today that God's working on you. And a lot of the things happening in your life are as He's shaping you and molding you, because He knows what it's going to look like in the end. What we have to do is just trust Him through the process. With that, I'd like to ask you if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Now, the prophet Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because Israel is so backslidden and so far away from God, it's almost a constant pronouncement of judgment coming. Here, God is going to direct the prophet to help him better understand what he wants of Israel. Chapter 18, first verse, he says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah the prophet from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working and shaping at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. And this is the crux of the message, people. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, or destroyed, and if that nation repents of its evil, then I will repent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And in another time I will announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted. And if it does evil in my sight and does not obey, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. What we are told is that only God can determine what goes on in our lives. He is, the word is, sovereign. That means I don't decide and you don't decide. God is the sovereign one who is choosing our course and shaping us into that vessel He would have us be. Some of those experiences that you are having right now is as you feel His hands shaping you. Some of the pain that you have experienced in your life is Him shaping you. God will continually work. God will continually shape us. Your first point is this: we are all a work in progress. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred. We are all a work in progress. God's not finished with you yet. And it is during those difficult times, it would seem, when He shapes us so much. Let me tell you about this. I read this. When you take the clay that the potter uses, it's unattractive. It's in a lump. It's ugly, boring, cheap, dirty, and messy. How many times, I remember as a boy going out sometimes on the creek bank, we would step on a spot of clay and we're just going to slide down and hit the ground and you come up filthy. Clay are very, it's very fine, fine particles of dirt and minerals. But in the end, it's dirt. But in the hands of God, in the hands of a potter, it can be made into something beautiful. And God is making you into a thing of beauty. And you need to understand every pain that you experience, every heartache that you go through, is because God is shaping you. God has a purpose for everything that goes on in our life. When you look back at your past experiences, God allowed them for a reason. There are storms coming in your future. God allows them for a reason. The potter is shaping you. And as we're going to talk about at the end of the message, we have to decide if we will allow the potter to shape us. Number two, all right, we have problems. Anybody here have a problem? Anybody sitting next to their problem? Anybody have problems upstairs? We have problems. We live in a broken world. Because of sin, we deal with pain, we deal with suffering, we deal with death. We deal with disobedience. We deal with our children sometimes breaking our hearts. We have problems. The scripture says that the potter is shaping the clay, but it is marred. It is hands. In other words, the clay has a problem. Maybe something has gotten into it that shouldn't have been there. When it came through the screen to filter it, maybe something got through. Maybe it's a substandard portion of clay that got mixed in with some good clay. But here's what you need to understand. God can still work with it. God can take the marred clay. God can take us when our life is messed up and still make it into a thing of beauty. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, Pastor, if you just knew the things I've done, or if you knew my past, or what has happened to me, doesn't change what God can do. Doesn't change the fact that when the potter sits down at that wheel and he begins to turn that wheel and begins to shape any imperfection, he can deal with it. Maybe it's not the way he planned on it being, but God can work around it. Our God is a God of second chances. God is continually working in us, again, that he might work through us. That very imperfection in your life, the place where you have problems, maybe the place where you have made mistakes, might be the very place that God is able to shape you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. But the key to understand is that we all have to be in the potter's hands. And unlike a lump of clay that is taken and thrown on the wheel, you and I have our own volition. We decide if we are going to put ourselves in the hand of God, to allow him to shape us and to mold us and to recreate us. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God has changed him. You see, our problems are not a problem for God. Now, I know that sometimes you think things have gone too far in your life. Sometimes we feel kind of like we're, remember Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a what? Great fall. What, and all the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put poor Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's not a problem for God. I am not a big fan of jigsaw puzzles. I think I've shared it with you before. I think it is very irrational to take a good-looking picture and chop it into 500 pieces and then say, now put it back together. I just don't see the logic in that. Plus, I'm not very good at it. God loves to put jigsaw puzzles together if they're our lives. But you've got to allow him maybe to take some people out of your life that you don't need to have in your life. He might need to bring some people into your life that need to be in your life. He might need to get you out of that job that you're in because it's got your focus. He might need to get you in a job where you can be a blessing to somebody else. I don't know what he's doing, but again, he's shaping, he's working, he's molding. Whenever something happens and you think, well, I don't like this thing, well, God, thank you that I know I just felt your hands. We pay a doctor big bucks when we have to have surgery because we know he has skilled hands. God has skilled hands to take again the hurts of your life and the wounds, begin to bring them back together and begin to shape them into a thing of beauty. Number three, we are in the potter's hands. When you came to Christ and became a new creation, through the Holy Spirit, he began to work on you and shape you and remold you. If you'll remember back a number of years ago, a number of us were involved in a small group study with Rick Warren, The Purpose Driven Life. In that, he threw out the idea that we are shaped for God. That God is, to everything that is happening, He is shaping us to use us. And I want to share with you very quickly the whole idea of being shaped for God. David, I need to get up your spiritual gifts. All right. The Holy Spirit, by the way, this S-H-A-P-E, shaped for God. Okay. You with me? Okay. Spiritual gifts. Do you understand when you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit gave you some gifts? Gifts for the purpose of being used in the kingdom of God. They're gifts that deal in relationships. They're gifts that deal with caring. There are gifts that deal in administration. There are gifts that deal in serving. He dispenses His gifts to the body of Christ for the purpose of serving in the body of Christ. And God builds His local church. Now, if you are a member of this church or part of the body of this church, God has given you some gifts. But if you are not using those gifts, then this body will never be what it needs to be. Because God has gifted us, again, each individually for the purpose of serving in the body of Christ. If you don't know what your gift is, I can give you some helps there that will generally help you find those places where God can take and God can use you. The second thing is heart. Each of us has passions. Each of us have dreams. Each of us has desires. What in justice is it that when you see it, you just want to do something about it? What are you passionate about? What do you see happening in people's lives that you think, if I could just somehow get involved and help and direct them? We have different passions. And as you begin to understand and say, what am I passionate about? Where has God given me a desire? Where do I have a heart? Where do I like to serve? You've got your spiritual gifts that God gave you. You've got your heart, your passions, your dreams, your desires. Then you've got your aptitude, your natural abilities, your natural talents. Where did God gift you when you were born, or maybe through life? What are those things that just come easy to you? Four is your personality. You do know we all have different personalities, don't you? We have a different temperament. Some people are very good with other people. They can sit down with them and listen to them and just connect with them. It's their heart. It's their personality. They're compassionate. Then there are those people that have a lot of trouble being compassionate. They can sit with someone, but it's really tough to do it. What's your personality? Are you someone that likes to get people together? My wife loves to get people together. She was doing it in high school, getting groups. It's natural for her to do it. Do you like being up in front of people? She's going to get people together, but if I tell her she's got to be up here, she don't want to be up here. She don't want to be up here. Some of you are detail people. You want to know the details of what's going on and how it's going on and what's it going to cost and how are we going to get it done. And some of you say, well, just they can do that, but I've got something else. I've got to get the big picture. We're all different. One's not right, one's not wrong. God created us differently. Like the car that you drive, anybody here drive a sports car? Anybody driving a sports car? We don't have a lot of sporty people in here, do we? But I know we've got a number of vans in the parking lot. Those are for moving people. Got a lot of trucks in the parking lot. That's guy stuff. I need a truck. I need a man. As vehicles serve different purposes, God created us. And the final thing on shape are your experiences. They help shape us, especially the difficult experiences. Some of you came up hard. Some of you didn't know at supper if you were going to eat, and if so, what it was going to be. Some of you didn't have a mom and a dad at home. Some of you had just one. Some of you had a parent that was an alcoholic. I know of a couple who had parents, both of them were alcoholics. Some of you had trouble in school, on the job. Some of you served in the military. You had some hard experiences. Each one of those experiences helps to shape us. Each one of those experiences redefines us. Especially, again, the painful ones. When God allows you to go through a painful experience, that's when He's really doing some hard shaping in your life. We trust Him. And again, He's doing it because He wants to reconcile a lost world to Him. And you are the vessel by which He's going to accomplish some of it. Expect the shaping. It will come. Number four, we are expected or created to please the potter. He says to the prophet, "Can I not do with you, Israel, just as the potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of a potter, so are you in my hand." In the book of Colossians, we find this here. Chapter 1, verse 16. Paul is speaking. Paul says, "For by him," that's Jesus, "for by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or authority. All things were created by Him and for Him." Did you catch that? All things were created by Him and for Him. We are told in Revelations that we were created for His pleasure. It's just not about me. And to be honest, it's not about you. It's about Him completely. He created us, again, for His pleasure. And we need to understand that some of the things He does in our life in shaping us and molding us for the moment may not seem pleasurable. But God sees down the road. God knows where He's taken us. God knows where He wants you to be. Because when He gets you there, you're going to put a smile on His face. And you want to put a smile on your Heavenly Father's face. Everything God creates is good. You are so valued in His eyes. God creates originals. There is none like you. They say everybody's fingerprints are different. The blood vessels in our eyes are different. I heard the date. Everyone's ears are different. I know that everyone's temperament and personality is different. We are all an original work. and we have value in the hands of God and the eyes of God, as we bring pleasure to Him, we will experience His pleasure in our lives. Imagine that lump of clay in the hands of the potter, creating it and shaping it and molding it into a thing of beauty for a specific purpose. That's what He wants to do in our lives. A very specific thing of purpose. Our fifth and final point is this. We decide if we will allow the potter to shape us. In the passage, the Lord God is talking to Jeremiah the prophet. Israel, as a matter of fact, the Israel that you knew under King David exists no more. The kingdom has been divided. The northern kingdom has already fallen. The southern kingdom, where Jeremiah is prophesying, has turned his back on God and is walking away. God's judgment is soon to come. What the Lord says, will you not allow me to do with you what the potter is doing to the clay? Just allow me to shape you. It's what a simple visual message that God gives us. I want you to be like clay in my hands. I don't want you to fight me. I don't want you to rebel against me. I want you to just trust me to begin to shape you and begin to mold you and to begin to refine you. Now the Apostle Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We actually decide if we will allow God to shape us. We have a free will. We can always choose. The wise person chooses to allow God to work in their lives. He takes our faults and problems and uses them in remaking us. If we fail and resist, if we refuse to allow God to shape us, we as clay begin to get hard. The Bible refers to oftentimes developing a hardened heart, a calloused heart, a heart that is turned away from God so many times that it can't hear God anymore. Can I not do with you, Israel? Can I not do with you, Stan? Can I not do with you, Connie? Put your name there. Can I not do with you as this potter does? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. I want to close with a video. It's a song, simple song, Change My Heart, O God. We have such a tendency to rebel against God. We have such a tendency to want to do our own thing, and then we wonder why we've messed up our life is because we've tried to shape ourselves and we don't have a clue what's going on. If during this, it's a song that you're going to see on the screen with video. If God speaks to you, just right there where you are, just humble your heart before God.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God.
Let's bow our hearts together. Father God, we so often have made a mess of our lives. We have made decisions that we knew displeased you. We have lived for ourselves and sought only what we desired. Forgive us. Lord, we have been a sinful people, a selfish people, a self-focused people. Father, as you have loved us through Christ, we pray that you might use us through Christ. We humble ourselves before you this day, O God. We humble ourselves, and Father, we ask that you shape us. If you have areas in your life where you're being disobedient to God, as we pray, just confess them to Him. Father, we have been stubborn. We've brought people into relationships with us that ought not be there, Lord, and they're leading us away from you. We've given in to temptation that is destructive in our lives. Forgive us. Forgive us for being demanding. And Father, help us to begin to be givers of praise instead of givers of complaints. Help us, O God, when you are shaping us and it's painful, to give you praise and thanksgiving. Helping us to understand it is through those difficult times and those circumstances that we don't understand that you may be doing your best in us. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive, cleanse, and restore. Now, just before I close the prayer, if anyone here would slip your hand up and say, Pastor, especially pray for me. I'm struggling. I'm battling. Would you just pray for me, oh God? Pray for me, Pastor. I need God's help in my life. Father, you've seen these hands, Lord. You know these individuals who are struggling, Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would draw close to them, and Lord, that they draw close to you, Lord, and Lord, that deep reconnection is made, Lord. In strength, we lift them up before you. In Jesus' name, for his kingdom's sake. Amen.